that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. The Monday Funnies. That's the name of the art exhibit, which opens next week at Chico's 1078 Gallery. Today we talk with the artist, Michael Mulcahy. Each of his paintings presents a colorful collage of images inspired by, as he puts it, cartoons, bad advertising art, B-movie sci-fi flicks, combined with vibrant repeated shapes and patterns. Also on today's program, we'll be visiting Chico Theater Company to talk with several of the actors from CTC's current production, the classic musical, My Fair Lady. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Reading's Riverfront Playhouse presents the whodunit comedy, The Games Afoot, or Homes for the Holidays. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. At Reading's Old City Hall, Shasta County's newest acting company, Axiom Repertory Theater, continues its production of Amadeus. This play about Mozart and his jealous rival takes the stage tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Next Thursday, at the Cascade Theater in Reading, the Midtown Men, from the original cast of Broadway's Jersey Boys, celebrate the hits of the early 60s. The concert starts at 7:30. As part of the Trinity Alps Music Festival, three classical clarinetists perform. Tonight, they appear at Reading's Pilgrim Congregational Church, starting at 7. Tomorrow, they're at the Trinity Alps Performing Arts Center in Weaverville, starting at 4. Then on Sunday, the concert comes to Chico's First Baptist Church, starting at 2. The Orland Art Center presents Ellen, Then and Now. This exhibit showcases works by artist Ellen Heiss. Tomorrow is the final day for this exhibit, and the gallery hours are 1 to 6. In Chico, Hir, spelled H-I-R, a subversive comedy about the patriarchy and gender roles, plays at the Blue Room Theater. Showtimes are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow. At the Chico Center for the Arts, California Regional Theater presents the musical Sister Act, a Tony-nominated show based on the 1992 film. The curtain rises tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. Tomorrow morning, magic takes the stage at Chico State's Harlan Adams Theater. Master illusionist Kevin Spencer presents his magic act, Hocus Focus, for the whole family. Be amazed tomorrow, starting at 11 a.m. On Sunday, back by popular demand at the Sierra Nevada Big Room in Chico, the Tea Sisters. This trio delivers a sassy set of originals and covers, starting at 7:30. Celebrate Chico's oddball spirit this weekend at the Keep Chico Weird Festival. Start at 1078 Gallery with a Keep Chico Weird art show, featuring artwork in a variety of media. Then tomorrow, go to the El Rey Theater for the Keep Chico Weird talent show, which starts at 7:30. Chico State's Janet Turner Print Museum hosts Currency, the 11th National Turner Print Competition and Exhibition. Experience a cross-section of national contemporary printmaking. The museum's open 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. In Paradise at Theater on the Ridge, Of Kites and Kings, a historical account of America's Revolution seen through the eyes of Benjamin Franklin's landlady. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. In Yuba City, the Acting Company brings us Love Letters, a two-character play about a man and a woman and their lifetime of ups and downs expressed in correspondence. Open the envelope tonight or tomorrow at 7:30, or receive a special delivery 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday. Tomorrow at the Acting Company, celebrate this country the quirky way with This America, a comic review with an eclectic mix of music to delve into our country's foibles. Two performances tomorrow, 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Also in Yuba City, the Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County features the photo exhibit Gold Fever, Untold Stories of the California Gold Rush. The museum's open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, Sunday, noon to 4. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Celebrating a birthday today, one of the world's greatest dancers, Mikhail Baryshnikov. He observed, "When a body moves, it's the most revealing thing. Dance for me a minute, and I'll tell you who you are."
Join our visual art expert, Dolores. She's at one of Chico's leading art galleries.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm going to speak with Michael Mulcahy, whose exhibition, The Monday Funnies, will be at the 1078 Gallery from February 2nd through the 25th. Michael, your work has some connections to cartoons.
When I was a very small child, I was fascinated by cartoons. That was my first ambition, to be a cartoonist. When I was young, I did very closely drawn, very realistic pencil and pen and ink drawings. They were very precise. They were of a different order than a cartoon, because cartoons, by their nature, are a very simplified, two-dimensional way of looking at things. Though I never formerly had any art education. I've continued painting since I was a small child up until now, when I'm mature at this point in my life.
Well, you were talking about a very dramatic expulsion from an art class when you were a youngster.
I tended to be a little volatile, a bit of a troublemaker. I do recall I was expelled from my seventh grade art class because I did not want to do what they wanted me to do. There's a little bit too much rebellion in my early life, I believe.
Your title of your exhibition, The Monday Funnies, what's that all about?
It's a play on words. The first thing you think of are the Sunday funnies. I always loved the Sunday funnies very much, to the extent that I read a newspaper every day, and one of the parts that I always read are the comic strips. Now, I have my favorites, and so I don't read them all, but I do that every day still.
Well, let's look at a particular painting, The Empire of the Ants. There are several characters in it, not all of them human, that derive from what you're calling cheap advertising.
Yeah, Dolores, I call it bad advertising art. The kind of stuff that you would see on popular magazines, on the ads for various products where there's a bad drawing associated with it. The one where people are getting sand kicked in their face, so you have to subscribe to a product sold by Charles Atlas so no one will ever kick sand in your face again. That sort of art. You see, Popular Mechanics magazine, that had a lot of really bad art. Newspapers have a lot of bad art in them, in the advertising. A lot of my images come from newspapers and magazines because I've been an inveterate clipper outer. Is that a word or concept? I just made it. I clip out things that intrigue me at the moment, and I save them. I've got boxes and boxes of clippings from newspapers and magazines. hardly any of them will ever be used, but when I'm starting a painting, I will look through the box and see if something speaks to me at this moment. I'll use that as a takeoff point for what I'm going to do on the canvas. This is kind of part of a concept I call painted collages, where I'm putting together a collage of disparate imagery. And instead of gluing little pieces of paper onto another piece of paper, I'm painting those images and trying to hang them together in the same way.
Well, there's another huge distinction between your sources and what you're doing. An advertisement has a particular objective. A comic strip is telling a story the reader is going to follow. But you're taking elements out of context from different sources. And looking at them, I'm looking at a sailor who's eating watermelon and spitting, and I'm looking at a damsel, I think, in distress, and I'm looking at Gumby, and I'm looking at, what is that creature up at the top?
Kind of a shmoo.
Shmoo.
You know, it's interesting. They are disparate. The title, and the woman in distress, comes from a really bad movie. Empire of the Ants. It's one of those things where, I don't know, radiation causes animals to grow very large and attack civilization. The other thing that I should mention about the clipping sources, the ads, almost all of those are black and white newspapers. So all the color is mine. I add the color. That's why it can be a little unrealistic, a little strange, because it came out of my head.
What's also very different is that you're interspersing patterns, very strong patterns, circles and stripes and jagged lines that are extremely abstract. You could take any one section and by itself it could be an abstract painting.
Well, this is part of the story. It's a little confused. I don't really know what the story is. We talked not too long ago about the way a viewer brings something completely different to a canvas than what you intend as the artist or the perpetrator of the canvas. I may have my ideas about what this is about, but they're really irrelevant because someone who sees it for the first time, who's not as closely involved as I am in the production of it, will bring something completely different to it, a different understanding. They'll make their own associations, and that's fascinating. You can never see what other people are going to see. It's an interesting process.
Well, what you're giving people to see are some very familiar images in very unfamiliar circumstances.
There you have it, all the images thrown together as a collage. The other thing I would say about these paintings is that they are very formalistic. They're strongly balanced. And that's one reason why there are so many different areas in the painting. They're there to give it a formal way of presenting itself. That way, in this particular painting, I've used some stripes, I've used some circles, I've used a lot of circles. That seems to show up a lot in my art. And I don't know why exactly, because it's a devilishly difficult thing to draw a circle.
Are these hand-drawn circles? Yipes! Those are difficult to draw.
Yeah, they are.
And your medium is acrylic. You were talking about layering in acrylic.
Acrylic medium is really interesting because it's waterborne. The product was actually developed for the Mexican muralists, and it's very, very sturdy as a medium because it doesn't get attacked by light sources, which most artworks are. So it's stable in that sense. But the medium itself is very translucent. It's a waterborne, like watercolor, but has a little bit more depth to it than a traditional watercolor. But it goes on translucent. Unless you mix it with another medium that gives it a little bit more body, you're going to have to put a lot of colors on in order to get coverage. And it's sort of a good news, bad news situation from a painter because you have to put a lot of work into this. The good news is it becomes very, very brilliant and the colors really can leap out at you after so many successive layers.
Michael, you're going to be giving a talk on February 2nd at 1078 Gallery at 6 p.m. What are some of the topics you're going to cover?
Well, we've covered some of them here. I'll have to come up with a few more for the talk. One of the things I mentioned about my saving of clippings from newspapers and stuff like that, that's an interesting thing because it falls into the area of what is appropriation in art? What is okay to appropriate in art and what is not? Because you can always fall over into plagiarism. One of the things we like to have as an artist is something that identifies us. So is it legitimate to take somebody else's work and make it part of your own? Do you have to change it? How do you change it? It's an interesting subject in the art world right now and has been for a while, actually. That's one of the things I want to talk about. I'll probably talk a little bit about the history of cartooning. I've always been a history buff.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. So your reception is going to be the 2nd of February from 5 to 7, but at 6 o'clock, you'll be giving your artist talk. And 1078 Gallery is at 8th Street and Broadway in Chico.
I'm here at Chico Theater Company. Their current production is the musical theater classic, My Fair Lady. We have here Holly Quick, who plays Eliza Doolittle. It said in the program that you had wanted to do this role since you were a child.
Actually, as a kid, I just really loved the dresses she wore, so I was really drawn to that. But growing older, I was able to realize different aspects of the play and learn about it more, and I just fell in love with the role of Eliza because in the beginning, she's just this wild, on fire person, and then she just totally transforms. I really like her because she's not afraid to stand up for herself, even as a lower class woman in 1912. And I really appreciate that. And that's something that I want to bring into my own life more.
What makes Eliza and Henry Higgins a good couple, do you think?
I think she can help him change his views of women because she's so strong. And I think a character like Higgins really needs that in his life to get his stuff straight.
He's treated her pretty badly, but as the story goes on, what is it that she's going to be getting from him?
I think stability. As a woman in 1912, especially one who doesn't have money, she really doesn't have much else of an option.
Do you think that they enjoy fighting with each other?
I think so, yes. I think Eliza likes a good argument every now and again.
Holly, what's your favorite song to sing in this beautiful score?
Oh, that's a hard one. Possibly Loverly, because it's really fun and it just talks about her hopes and her dreams, talking about the simple things in life that she wants. It's a really nice song and I relate to it.
All I want is a room somewhere far away from the cold night air, with one enormous chair.
And now I'm talking with Luis Fuentes. He plays Freddie Eynsford Hill, definitely a supporting role, but you sing such a spectacularly beautiful song, On the Street Where You Live.
It was challenging, but you know, it's probably one of the most rewarding things I've ever done on stage, just because I don't have much singing experience, but you know, I worked and I grinded and I really feel like I got the essence of the song.
So what was it like getting into character of this upper class, sheltered part of the 1%, and he isn't really equipped for any kind of rough and tumble world?
It was a little difficult. The British accent helped. Once we got costumes, that really helped. But yeah, I was able to find it, and I think I found really what Freddie was all about. He's part of the 1%, but he still doesn't really quite fit in to the 1%, which is why he's so attracted to Eliza.
I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live.
And now we're talking with Jeff Dickinson, who plays Alfred Doolittle. That's Eliza's father. You represent the lower classes, but that's not a burden for you. You seem to really enjoy being the lower class person, right?
Doolittle is a guy who sees the larger picture. He's smart enough to know what the world is and what it's about, but he likes his little tiny corner of it, and he's happy there. I think it's heartbreaking for him at the end when he is forced into a larger part of the world that includes money and responsibility and all those things. I think he's the true proletariat, you know.
George Bernard Shaw, who wrote the original play this is based on, was having fun commenting on the social classes and what each class gets out of life and what they don't get.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Alfie is just, you know, he is Mr. Social Commentary, and he has a lot of fun doing it. I mean, he's just looking for his next beer. I mean, he works. I mean, he has a job, and he has, you know, children, some of whom he knows about, some of whom he probably doesn't. You know, just looking for his next beer, his next meal.
He's kind of a natural philosopher who doesn't put on airs or think of himself as learned or anything. And just he just naturally has great ideas and looks deep into things. He kind of reminds me of the gravedigger in Hamlet, the lower class person who's cleverer than the upper class people.
Yeah, Shakespeare's clown or fool who is the person that tells the truth. I think Alfie tells the truth. He doesn't want the money because he knows it's too much. I mean, that's an enlightened view. Uh-huh. I mean, how many people would turn down 10 bob for 5 bob? And at the end, when he gets the inheritance, I mean, it, like I said, it rocks him in a bad way. So I think he's truly enlightened, but he's not enlightened enough. The thing about Alfie that I love is he's not enlightened enough to do anything about it. I mean, she says, give the money back, and he's like, can't do it. You know, because I'm a part of this cog, too. You know, I'm a part of the wheel.
You get to do those fun numbers, lots of energy and dancing and stuff. What's it like doing those songs?
Really a lot of fun because I just get to come in once basically in each act, and I have a, you know, large number in each act and get to whoop it up, and then I get to sit backstage and, you know, read my book or whatever. Kind of, we used to joke about plays like this, especially in Shakespeare, where you have like these MacGyver breaks where you take like, you could watch like a whole episode of MacGyver while you're off stage, you know, that's like what we do. And it's, Alfie's a role like that. And it's a lot of fun. It's what I signed up for, so.
And it's great that you get to come on in each act and just steal the show.
Well, it's fun. It's they're big, energetic, large show numbers. And Alfie, I'm lucky that Alfie gets to do those.
The Lord above my liquor for temptation, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, when temptation comes, you'll give right in. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of luck, you'll give right in.
Now I'm going to talk with Mark Edson, Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady. As many of you know, he's also the main producer and leader of Chico Theater Company. So what's it like shifting gears on certain shows like this one from being the host and the producer and just making sure everything goes right business-wise and then suddenly being the central lead character in the production?
Especially with this role, of all the roles I've done, Henry Higgins is probably one of the toughest to do because the songs are very repetitive and there's a lot of words and I'm on stage almost the whole time. So an hour before the showtime, I just have to cut the line and say, I'm an actor now. I'm not the producer. You know, if somebody's dying, come see me. But other than that, I've got other people to handle it. And so I just need to become the actor and concentrate on that because it does take an enormous amount of concentration to play Henry Higgins.
I was reading in the program that you did this role 5 years ago for Chico Theater Company. What extra colors are you finding in this role with the director that you're having this time compared to what you did 5 years ago?
Both experiences have been great, but they are quite different. When we first did it 5 years ago in 2012 with Joey Mahoney, it was a great roller coaster ride. This time it seems like I've been able to bring a bit more into the character and think about why Henry Higgins does certain things. He maybe just isn't one type of personality. there's more inner motivations that are going on within his head on why he treats women and especially Eliza the way he does. The other thing is the change that he goes through. You know, the overriding story is that Eliza gets changed, but really she only kind of gets changed on the outside. But Eliza changes Henry on the inside, where he really does realize that he's not the lone wolf, that he is open to a semi-relationship.
Well, just on the surface of it, Henry Higgins is a sexist pig. He says some terrible dismissive things about women. And in this week where we had the Women's March on the whole world, really, how do you make this sexist role work for a 21st century audience?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes when I say certain lines, I can hear gasps in the audience as they go, oh. Henry kind of gets set up as the bad guy, the one that you kind of hate. He's such an ass. And then I can bring back some redeeming qualities for him, that he really does care about people and that he really does care about Eliza and what is going to happen to her. The Women's March and, you know, Power for Women is going on right now. So, yeah, I'm glad I wasn't downtown speaking.
Underneath the surface, he's actually changing himself and he doesn't know it.
That's right. I think he doesn't realize until the very end he has been changed. That last song is great. I've grown accustomed to her face because it's actually a mashup of like four different songs that he goes through. So it's wonderful how Lerner and Lowe did that. They took pieces of four different songs to make I'm Grown Accustomed to Her Face. So it's like a recap of everything that's happened thus far. And then he realizes, wow, I really do miss her. I really want her in my life.
Yeah, and I thought you were very successful, touching even, discovering that yourself and being tortured by it almost, because you're having to admit that you've become something that you always swore you wouldn't be, right?
That's exactly right. It's set up right in the scene before it when he tells Mother, I don't need anyone at all, and then he comes back to the house and you see right there that you do. And it's interesting being alone on stage, having to churn up those emotions you're going to project while looking out at, you know, 200 people staring back at you. It's one of the challenges of doing musical theater, but it's also a really good rush.
So a lot of people through the years have called My Fair Lady the perfect musical. What do you think makes it so perfect?
It's got a lot of humor, and it harkens back to a time, you know, set in 1912, 105 years ago, that a lot of people have forgotten about, obviously weren't even around. And it talks about how no matter what station you're in life, if you have the desire to change yourself, you can change. And I think people internalize that and get that out of the show. It's not just entertainment to watch. It can kind of speak to you in that manner.
We've been talking with Mark Edson, who's playing the lead, Henry Higgins, in My Fair Lady, currently on stage at Chico Theater Company.
I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in your community. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.